Our lives as Christians should be characterized by growth, improvement in service to God. John chapter 3, verse 3 through 5, and many other scriptures talk about the beginning of our life as Christians as being like a spiritual birth. We're born again. But we're born spiritually as spiritual babes, that is, as those who are immature, not as mature Christians. And becoming mature requires a period of growth, just as it does for a little child that's born as a baby. They must grow up to become an adult. And so we should grow spiritually. But spiritual growth should never cease. Physically, we grow to a certain point and then we level off. But there are many plants and even some animals that continue to grow all their lives. They always, each year, increase in size. And that's how our spiritual growth should be. It's an improvement that should never cease, but should continue throughout all of our lives. What I want us to do in our study together this morning is I want us to consider some areas in which we ought to grow and to observe the connection between this growth and the church. Consider with me then some teaching about growth, some areas in which we ought to grow, and notice some practical applications as we study together this morning. First of all, notice with me some passages that show that we should grow. Every Christian ought to grow. Every Christian ought to increase in strength and faith day by day. First of all, some passages that taught that God, that teaches that God does expect us to grow. That growth ought to characterize our lives as Christians. The goal is to become mature, full grown. The Bible sometimes refers to this with the term perfect, meaning not that there's never any room for continued improvement, but it's a description of maturity, spiritual adults. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 with me, please. 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 18. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever." So here's a passage talking about growth. God wants us to grow as Christians. And Ephesians chapter 4 in the scripture reading talked about the need to grow, that we need to grow up in all things in him who is the head, verse 13 says, and that we should grow to be a perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here you see this idea of growing to be a perfect man, that is, to be mature as Christ was. Hebrews 6 and verse 1 says we ought to go on into perfection, and verse 14 of verse 5 describes that as being a full age. So all of these passages that show that when we're born again, we should not be satisfied to stay spiritual babies, or whatever level we're at spiritually. We should not be satisfied to stay there, but should be working to improve and increase to please the Lord. See, the ultimate goal, Ephesians 4 said, was the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, none of us have ever reached that. So we all have more room to grow. And we all need to continue in a process of growth. So God expects all of us to grow. God expects us then, in particular, to become stronger as time goes by. In Acts 9 and verse 22, we're told that Saul increased all the more in strength. So what strength he had, he was adding to that. He was gaining in strength, and that's what you and I ought to do as well. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 10. It says, "May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Notice this is a growth process. He says, after a while, if you suffer for a while, you'll become stronger. As a result, you'll become perfected, that is, mature. So this growing, this being becoming established, being strengthened, is a process, a growing that God expects us to continue to participate in. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 said, "God would grant according to the riches of his glory that we be strengthened with his might through his Spirit in the inner man." And so when a person first becomes a Christian, like that physical baby, there are a lot of things he simply is not able to do. He doesn't have the knowledge. He doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the strength to do those things. Growing involves developing these qualities of character that he needs to be able to work and to be of service. And the same thing is true of us spiritually. As we grow up in Christ, we're trying to learn these qualities that strengthen us, that make us useful in God's service, useful in serving other people. And then, furthermore, we grow in faith. Not only just in general, but in strength, but we grow in faith as well. Luke 17 and verse 5, Jesus' disciples asked him to increase their faith. And that's a desire that we should all have. Every Christian should have a desire for more faith, a stronger faith, a deeper faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, Paul said he gave thanks that their faith, talking about the Thessalonians, that their faith was growing exceedingly. And so you see, faith is trust in God that leads us to obey Him and leads us to serve in other areas. When we are weak in faith, we're not serving as we could if we would grow and have a stronger faith. And so increasing in service, growing as a Christian, involves, among other things, growing in faith. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verses 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. He says, But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now all of these qualities, he says, you add to your faith. But you want these things, all of them, he says, to abound. And so growth, not just a little, but abounding in these qualities, is what God wants for us. And all these areas that he describes are all areas of growth and improvement. So people who appreciate the value of faith need to appreciate the value of teaching, because teaching is the means that helps us to grow. And that's the thing that we want to emphasize next. That this faith is the root of our growth. It's the sort of the source that gives strength to all the rest. He said, add these things to your faith. So you start with the faith and you add these other qualities to it. This growing process begins with growing in your faith. If you're going to please God as a Christian, we must continue growing. In order to do that, then, the point is, we need teaching. We need edification. Do you seek to improve and grow in God's service? If so, you need to be taught. You need to be edified. You need to be instructed in the will of God. It's a fundamental aspect of growing as a Christian, is this instruction or this teaching. And let's notice this now for the areas we've talked about. Growth in general requires studying, being edified, learning the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 describes it as being like, again, like a baby. And the Word of God, the Bible says, is like the milk that the baby needs to drink in order for it to grow. And he says, in the same way, we as Christians need the Word of God that we can grow. And so he says, we should long for the sincere milk of the Word. Just like that little baby longs for the milk. It wants to eat. It, of course, doesn't. Its mind think, if I can't eat, I won't grow. But that's the facts. That's why it needs that nourishment, so that it can grow. We need to understand that in our minds, that we will grow as Christians only as we feed upon the Word of God. And we should long for that nourishment like the little baby does. 2 Peter chapter 3 again, and verse 18 said, grow in grace and knowledge. The growth that God expects requires a growing in knowledge. As our knowledge increases, we grow in many areas of our service to God. And so without growing in knowledge, we're not going to grow as God wants us to. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, and here's an example of some people that were not growing as they should because they were not feeding on the Word of God as they should. Hebrews chapter 5, and in verse 12 beginning. Hebrews 5 verse 12. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Notice the expressions that talk about growth here. He says in verse 1 of chapter 6, go on to perfection. That's this maturity that we're talking about. Chapter 5, verse 14 says, we need full age in contrast to the babes. Well, this is the point we've been making in this study. That when we're born again, we are spiritually babies, but we need to grow up. In the passage, he talks about how that a baby will feed on milk because that's what he's able to digest. The simpler, the more basic aspects of the Word of God. But as he grows up, he needs to learn to handle solid food or meat. In this case, these people had not grown because they hadn't been feeding on the Word of God like they should. So as we mature, we need to grow by means of the Word of God, by studying, learning, and being taught the Word of God. So the question for you and me is, are we doing that? Are we feeding on the Word of God so that we'll grow as we should? And not only growing in general, but specifically, we become stronger. We increase in spiritual strength by feeding on the Word of God. In the book of Joshua, chapter 1, and verses 6 through 9, God spoke to Joshua and challenged him to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And he said, be strong and have good courage. It was going to take strength, it's going to take courage to do this work. But he challenged him, he said, to meditate on God's word day and night so that he could observe to do it. And then he would prosper and he would have good success. In other words, to have the strength to do the work that God had given him to do, he needed to feed on the Word of God. He needed to meditate day and night so that he could observe and be successful, have the strength to accomplish the work. And the same thing is true for you and me in our service to God. If we're going to be strong, we need to feed on the Word of God. God's Word is what gives us strength and courage that we can accomplish and be successful in God's work for us as well. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 through 11. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 9 through 11. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, listen, be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him and being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. See the emphasis on increasing in knowledge and being filled with knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Now, what's the point of all that? Why should we be doing this? He said, so you can be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might. According to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy. So the strength that we need comes from the Word of God. As we study and meditate on the Word of God, as we increase our knowledge, our wisdom, our understanding, we become stronger and then we become fruitful in every good work, he said. Acts 14 and verse 22, Paul and Barnabas were told, strengthen the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. How did they strengthen them? They strengthened them by teaching, by exhorting them in the Word of God. If we want to become stronger then, in God's service, we also need to be exhorted in the Word of God. And so that baby that is not properly nourished is not going to grow. There's a number of ways he's not going to grow. One way he's not going to grow is he's not going to get stronger. In order to become strong, it needs regular nourishment. The same thing is true for you and me. We need to feed on God's Word that we can grow in general and specifically so that we can become stronger. But then also, we need to feed on the Word of God so that we can increase our strength. Strength also comes from the Word of and faith rather, an increasing in faith comes from the Word of God. John 17 and verse 20, Jesus prayed for all those who believe in Him that they should be one, but He said they should believe in Him through the preaching of the apostles. What was it that led to faith? It was the preaching. It was the teaching of the Word of God. That's what gives faith. Faith comes, Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you and I want to grow in faith, if we want to increase our faith, we need to study. We need to examine the Word of God and let it be the source of our strength as we can grow spiritually in our faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, again, that we read earlier, talked about add to your faith these different qualities and abound in these things. But included in what we add, he said, was knowledge. So as you add an increase in knowledge, you will also increase in faith and the other qualities. It all goes together. But in order for you and me to grow in faith, we've got to have an increasing knowledge of God's Word. Now, the point that I'm trying to make in all this, and I hope it's fairly obvious, fairly straightforward, a lesson this morning, that God wants you and me to improve, to do better, to grow, to be stronger, to have more faith. The way we do that, fundamental to that, is studying the Word of God, being edified, learning the Word of God. Now, that being true, what does that have to do with the church? And the answer is, teaching and edification is what the church is about. This is absolutely fundamental to the church. You and I need to grow, improve, increase in strength and faith. To do that, we need to be taught, we need to be edified, and that's what God put the church here to do. To teach and edify and encourage so that people can know the will of God and can grow. So, in particular, there are many passages that show that the church's role pertains to teaching. That is, that's what we do for one another as members of the church. It's true we should study the Word of God on our own, and I'm not belittling that, and we've talked about that a number of times in other studies, but this morning I want to emphasize the fact that the church is involved in our growth because the church teaches and does that edification that we need so that we can grow. 1 Timothy 3 verse 15 tells us the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. That is, it is the responsibility of the church to hold the Word of God up so that people can know it. Now look in Colossians chapter 2 with me and verse 19, and let's tie these things together to our growth as we talk about the study, the teaching that we can help one another in doing. Colossians 2 verse 19, people he talked about here were not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase which is from God. How do we grow? We grow from the Word of God. And the passage says that we together, though all the body is nourished and knit together to bring about this growth in knowledge. The Word, the church, other Christians are here to help us to grow so that we, to learn so that we can grow, so that we can increase, as the passage says. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 19, he says that we should pursue ways to edify one another. We just studied that in our Wednesday night adult class not long ago. That we should pursue ways to edify one another. Chapter 15 and verse 14 said we should be able to admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, we should comfort and edify one another with the words revealed in the Scriptures. So this again, you see, is something we help one another in. Not just isolating ourselves, studying alone, but together with other Christians, we edify one another. We admonish one another. We build one another up, and we need that in order to grow, to be stronger, to grow in faith, and so on. One of the advantages of a one another relationship, working together, is we help one another to learn. And by helping one another to learn, we help one another to grow and improve. And the thing is, every day, you and I, as we go through our daily lives, are surrounded by people who are doing the opposite of this. People that discourage our walk with God because of their indifference spiritually, because of the indifference to proper speech, to indifference to proper morality, indifference to worship and service to God in general. And we are drugged down day by day by the influence of people on the job and neighbors and maybe other family members and so on. But with other Christians, we're built up. We're strengthened. We're stronger in faith. We grow because we're helping one another. And how do we do that? Through the Word of God. Through instruction and edification in God's Word. Specifically, the church does this when it meets together. When we are assembled, whether classes or worship assemblies like this, we come that we can together participate in this studying and this learning, and as a result, the growth that comes from it. Acts 11, verse 26 talks about Paul and Barnabas met with the church in Antioch and taught many people. How did they do that? The church came together. Paul and Barnabas used that opportunity to teach the people. Teaching is done in our assemblies. Acts 20 and verse 7. When the church came together on the first day of the week to break bread, Paul preached to them. So our assemblies are one of the, and our meetings, the various times that the church arranges for us to come together, are one of the main ways that we teach and admonish one another as part of the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26 in particular. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 26, in discussing spiritual gifts, nevertheless he says this about our assemblies. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification. Now think about this. We've just learned that God wants every one of us to grow, to improve, to mature, become stronger, grow in faith. We've now learned that all that happens as we study and learn the Word of God and as we're edified. Now we've learned that God put the church here to have meetings in which everything is to be done to edify. In other words, when we assemble like we are now, all of our activities are designed to do the very thing we're talking about this morning will help us grow. We are being edified in each activity that we participate in. We are being instructed in the Word of God. We're being encouraged to improve, to grow in faith, and so on. Our assemblies, our work together as a church, is expressly designed by God to help bring about this growth that we're talking about. And so if we appreciate our need to grow, then we ought to appreciate the local church and the opportunities that it provides us to study and learn. But understand, this is not something that we need just once a week. We need regular, frequent instruction and encouragement and edification in the Word of God. Because growing is consistent. It's not just something we do once a week. We say, okay, I've grown for this week and now I'm done growing. And so we need to be edified, not just Sunday morning. See, some people have the idea that, well, we have the Lord's Supper and we have the collection on the first day of the week, and so I'll come for that and then I'm done with my church activity for the week. And it's true, once you've had the Lord's Supper and once you have given your funds in the collection, then you're done with those activities. But what we're talking about here today is not something that you're going to be done with after you've spent a few minutes on once a week doing. It's a continual growth process. Therefore, it's a continual learning process, including your study at home, but including other times that the church may give us that we can study and learn. And so just because we've had the Lord's Supper and the collection doesn't mean that our teaching and our learning is done. The church needs to continue to provide opportunities through the week, or as we have various times, to meet this need for learning. And so we have Bible classes other times. We have assemblies on Sunday evening. We have gospel meetings like the one we have coming up in a couple of weeks. All of these are things the church does, and sometimes special classes as well. The ladies' class, sometimes we're going to have, before long, we're going to have a men's class. All of this is the church giving us opportunities to learn so that we can grow. If we truly appreciate our need to be taught and to learn so that we can improve, why should we not want to attend every time that we can possibly arrange our schedule to be here? Now see how this fits in Ephesians chapter 4 and the scripture reading that was read this morning. Look at the passage and see how basically what this passage is saying is what we've just been talking about. Here's a passage that in essence puts together what we've been talking about this morning. Remember the passage is about growth. That's what this passage was talking about. That you and I need to grow up to Christ. And so in verse 11 he begins talking about the leaders in the church. The apostles and prophets who were the ones in the first century that gave us the Bible. And then he talks about evangelists, pastors and teachers. Those are the ones who teach the Bible, the Word of God. Why do we need this? Well, verse 12 says it equips the saints for the work of ministering and edifying of the body of Christ. That's what we're talking about. These things the leaders are lead the church to be edified, that the body will get this instruction, this edification that we need in order to do what? Verse 13, that we come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, that we grow. Verse 14, so we no longer be children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We should not stay children, we should grow. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things to him who is the head, Christ. It's a passage about growth. Growth that comes from teaching, edification, growth that the church helps provide. Now how do we do this? What does the church do to help us to grow, to provide that we can grow and mature in this way? Verse 15, speaking the truth in love. That's how. That's how we grow. So that's the point we've been making. Here's the passage that's putting this together for us. That's how we grow. We grow by studying the Word of God. God put these leaders in the church. God put the body here so that the teaching would be done so that we could be edified. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes, listen, growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So the body works together. The leaders lead, but every member, not just the leaders, every member has the responsibility to be involved in this growth process that we can edify the body in love. Now then, when Christians meet, what this is saying, we come together to study, to be edified. It's like meal times in your home. The parents have provided the food, the mother cooks a good meal, put it on the table. The children come and they eat so that they can grow, so they can be strong, so they can be useful. If the children come, there's three meals a day, and the children come once and skip the rest of the meals, what's going to happen? They're going to be undernourished. They're not going to be strong. They're not going to grow like they should. Same thing is true in the church. The church is providing the spiritual meal times where we come to feed on the Word of God together. That's what the passage is saying, that the leaders of the church are supposed to be arranging opportunities to do that so we can be edified. But every member of the body is supposed to participate, supposed to be involved. And if we are not active in coming and studying and learning, then what's going to happen to us spiritually is we're going to be undernourished spiritually. We're not going to grow. We're not going to be strong. We're not going to increase in strength as we ought to. So the question for you and me then is, do we appreciate the opportunities provided by the church? Do we understand that God has set up the church to provide us our spiritual meal times? Our times when we can come and study and learn so that we can grow, become stronger, and increase our faith and be useful to God. Do we understand and appreciate that and make use of these opportunities to do that? Now I want to study a summary passage in the book of Hebrews that kind of puts all this together for us. So turn to the book of Hebrews, and I want to start in chapter 2. The book of Hebrews is written to, as you can see from the title, Hebrew Christians. But they were in danger of falling away. They were in danger of leaving the faith and being lost. I want us to see what Paul says, some things he says about how they would fall away and be lost, what would cause it, and I want to see what the solution to it is, how to avoid it. Start chapter 2. Chapter 1, he begins praising Christ and the things Christ has done, but he really gets into the meat of the problem in chapter 2, beginning verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have learned, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, that's the Old Testament, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? Here's the problem. He's concerned about the danger of neglect and drifting away. You see that? He says, give more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. You see, the problem, what leads most people to be lost, is not a sudden point in their life in which they just suddenly turn away from God and quit serving Him. It's a gradual drifting away. This is the concern that he has. Or as he says in verse 3, we may be guilty of neglecting salvation. Neglect. Not a deliberate choice in which we've been serving God wonderfully, we've been as strong as we can be, and all of a sudden we take off in another direction and we give it up. It doesn't happen that way. Rarely. What happens is neglect. We become indifferent. It's not as important to us as it once was or as it ought to be. And we gradually drift away. That's the concern. He says, to solve that, he says, give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Pay more attention to the Word of God, to the message of salvation, to help us that we not drift away, that we not be negligent. In chapter 3, then, he gives an example of the nation of Israel. Israel fell away and eventually became hardened in rebellion, refused to serve God, and so God refused to allow them in the eternal reward. That's chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Having described Israel's fall as an example of drifting away and negligence, that we should not be like them, he begins to tell us, okay, here's the solution to it again. Chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, he says, brethren, beware, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You see? How do we avoid this drifting away? How do we avoid this becoming negligent? He says, exhort one another daily. If you don't do that, if you don't get this exhortation from one another, you may be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You may develop an evil heart of unbelief. But if we will exhort one another, he says we can become partakers of Christ and hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. That's this strength we've been talking about. Confidence is faith. This strength of faith that we need to maintain our service to God and be faithful then requires us to be exhorting one another. We need encouragement from the group. Exhortation. Now, how often do we need that? Is this once a week on Sunday morning? He says, exhort one another daily. So when we have contact with one another during the week, we should be encouraging one another. But in particular, the church is arranging times, as we've seen from Ephesians chapter 4, the church is arranging times when we can meet together for this express purpose of exhorting one another. So the church is not limited to conducting one assembly a week on Sunday for teaching and edification. We are authorized to schedule as many meetings as we need to meet this need of exhortation, to provide the encouragement, the strength that is needed. And then the members who see the need to give a more earnest heed to the things that they've heard, so they don't drift away, so they don't neglect, the people who see the need for that will participate and see the need of being here. And if we reach the point that the church is scheduling meetings for us to come and participate, but we repeatedly choose not to come when we could come, and we're not working on our schedules to arrange to be here, what has happened is this process of neglect and drifting away has begun. And what we need to do instead of that is give the more earnest heed to the things that were taught. Look at Psalm 95. Here in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 11, was this description of the people of Israel and how they fell away. But he's quoting it here in Hebrews chapter 3 from a passage in Psalm 95. I want to go back to Psalm 95 and read the context, because the context of this passage is making the same point that we are making and that he's making in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's look at it in Psalm 95. And we'll start with the beginning of the chapter and read down through, and you will see then as we get towards the end of it the quotation that's in chapter 3 of Hebrews about today, don't harden your hearts and so on. But let's start with verse 1, Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills also are His. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they proved me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, "Is people who go astray in their hearts, they do not know my ways. So I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Now verses 7 through 11 that I just read there are verses 7 through 11 of Hebrews chapter 3. The same thing is being quoted. Now the point, as you can see from reading Psalm 95, is God's people in the past had not been faithful. They had drifted away. They had become negligent in their service to God, and the end result of that is that they were hardened, and God rejected them. They could not enter into the promised land of Canaan. And they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Verse 10. But look at the context of Psalm 95. To learn the lesson and not be like them, what should we be doing? How do we avoid that? Well, look at the things that he says that we should do. He says we worship God. We come in His presence with singing, verse 1. We come to His presence with thanks, verse 2. We appreciate His greatness and His power, verses 3 through 5. We talk about how wonderful He is and how great He is. And then verse 6, he says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God." That's how we maintain our commitment to God so that we don't drift away, we don't neglect Him, we don't become unfaithful, fall away, and we lose our eternal reward. The way that we do that is by coming together and worshiping God, by reminding one another of our God and who He is. That's the point of the passage that the writer of Hebrews is quoting in Hebrews chapter 3 when he quoted from Psalm 95. That's his same point here in Hebrews chapter 3 when he says then we should exhort one another while it is called the day so that we don't become hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. You see, it's the same point. The solution to the problem of becoming indifferent and drifting away from God is worship, Bible study, teaching, exhorting, and edifying one another. In other words, work with your other Christians to strengthen and encourage one another. Then in chapter 4 of Hebrews, verses 9 through 11, he ties it back again to Israel. And now, because of Israel's error, they could not enter in the promised land. We need to avoid that error. He says, we need diligence. Diligence. Assembling to study and worship is a fundamental part of God's plan for you and me to be faithful, to grow, to become stronger, to increase our faith, and not fall away. We must assemble and be diligent. Be diligent about this studying, about this exhorting one another. Give the more earnest heed to it. Now then, come to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Frequently, when we study this passage, we study it without the context. We don't put it together with the other parts of the book of Hebrews like we've been trying to do this morning. And the result of that is we miss the real power and value of the passage. So let's, this morning, put it together with what we've learned. Everything we've learned this morning about the importance of growing, importance of becoming stronger and increasing in faith, and how that's the Word of God, it's teaching and edification that brings this about, and how the church is responsible to provide opportunities that we can speak the truth in love, and we can help one edify one another, that we can grow, and in particular in the context of the book of Hebrews. How that to avoid this drifting away and becoming negligent, we need to exhort one another. Now, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, put it together with all that we've learned. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He is who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see how that fits with what we've been learning? Through the whole lesson, and particularly through the book of Hebrews? He starts off saying in verse 23, hold fast the confession. I'm getting behind here on my... Verse 23, hold fast the confession of your faith, so it does not waver. That's the problem of the book. People's faith wavering, becoming negligent, drifting away. We don't want to do that. We want to hold fast our faith. How do we do that? Verse 24, consider one another to stir up love and good works. That's how. We encourage one another, just like Hebrews chapter 3 said. Hebrews chapter 2 said, don't drift away, don't neglect salvation. What do we do about it? Verse chapter 3, exhort one another. Same thing here. Hebrews chapter 10 is drawing this conclusion to the same point. If we're going to hold fast our faith and so that we don't waver, then we need to stir one another up to love and good works. Encourage one another. When do we do that? How do we do that? Verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. We come together so that we can get the exhortation, we can give exhortation, so we can strengthen one another, so we can grow, we can become stronger, and improve our faith. And then we will not waver in faith, we will not drift away, we will not become hardened, and we will maintain our commitment and our service to God. And that's the point. Now, how often do we need to do that? You see, people sometimes want to take verse 25 and apply it like to one assembly a week. But if you put it in the context of the book, you see, this exhortation that we need is not something you need one time a week. It's something that we need regularly and frequently. And so the church should give us times that we can come together and do this as often as it can reasonably do so to meet the need. And when we do that, we need to be here. When you understand the principle that's taught in the book, you understand that what we need is encouragement, we need instruction, we need edification and exhortation, and we need to do that for one another, and the church should provide us opportunities to do that. And if we want to be faithful, to grow, improve our service to God, then we should see the value of being here when we meet. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verses 9 through 12. Talks about how two are better than one. Two are better than one, it says, because we help one another. If one falls, the other can lift him up. Two are better than one because if one faces opposition, the other can help him. Two are better than one because one, that together they have strength that they may possess alone. They may not possess alone, but together they have strength. And then it says three would even be more so. And of course, it multiplies. That's the point of the lesson this morning, as it applies to our growth and our strength and our faith. God knows we need strength and growth. And He knows that we can encourage one another. Just like the two are better than one and the three, just by being together, we strengthen one another. And so God gave us the church to help us do that. Group responsibilities where we can together help one another. But a Christian does not appreciate the opportunities that we have, but fails to participate when he could be here, inevitably, he's not going to grow as he should. So the question for you and for me is, are we growing? Are we increasing in strength and faith as we should? The church is giving us the opportunities. We're having opportunities Sunday morning, Bible classes, worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday evening, gospel meeting coming up. The church is giving us the opportunities. What are we going to do with those opportunities? God wants you to be a member of His body, the church, and He wants you to be active. You can do that. He wants you to grow. He wants you to mature as a Christian. You can do that. Have you become a Christian? Have you received the forgiveness of your sins by the blood of Jesus Christ? If you haven't done that, why not do it this morning? If you've done that, are you growing? Are you strong as a Christian? Or have you fallen away? Have you been drifting and need the prayers of the congregation? Whatever you need, won't you come and make it known as we stand and while we sing?